Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
In Acts 19 and verse number 1, we're reading Luke's account of Paul's travel. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Welcome to the house of the Lord, and as we could see by the hands raised this morning, welcome to the presence of believers. Isn't it great to be able to worship with those who worship in spirit and in truth? Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It's always a comforting thing to know you are in the company of those that hold similar views and cling to the same value system. It's been in the news this week. I did a little research and read up on it. There's even a church school in Manhattan that now is doing away with gender references and no more calling mom and dad, it's family and all kinds of crazy things. And it's a church school. We are living in a day where we have seen a progressive digression or stepping away from that which is absolute in the Bible. But there are many people out there, I believe, that are pursuing Christ Jesus, that are looking for all that they can have in Christ Jesus. And for us who are here in this first service, I would say because we're all baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is a good Bible study for you, and this is a good lesson for you to be able to share with those who have repented and are following Christ but have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Belief in a set of values demands sometimes an immediate change, and belief in a set of values would demand constant readjustment in our life. Belief in a set of values demands continued progress. As believers, we are demanded to follow Christ Jesus. I'm not sure how it was that Paul came to the conclusion that these men that he met in Ephesus were believers. Perhaps it was through a letter of introduction or word of mouth. But the discovery was made, they were believers. He called them disciples. The question that Paul asked them does not seem at all unusual. It would be similar to asking a pilot if he had instrument rating because we're flying in a snowstorm. It would be similar to asking a truck driver if he has the permission to haul hazardous material. Or it would be much the same as asking a welder that's welding a hitch onto your boat, "Hey, are you certified? Or the electrician, do you have a license?" Because there's a lot of people that proclaim to be able to do stuff, but they really aren't certified to do those things. There is a natural progression that takes place in the life of the believer. You and I know that. We have grown in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says these men were disciples. They were believers. So what did it mean to be a believer to them? To them, to decipher this, we would have to examine what John the Baptist's ministry and teaching were. And through the examination of this ministry and teaching of John the Baptizer, we see the forethought of God and the continuity of the plan of God. He was progressively leading them toward this dispensation, the church age. So let's break it down. Zacharias was a priest of the Lord. He was married to Elizabeth, and they had not been able to have children. And one day, Zacharias went into the holy place to offer incense before the Lord. He had been selected, and while the people were waiting outside, Zacharias had a visitation from an angel. And Luke 1 and 12 reads, "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you shall call his name John," verse 14, "and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." So he's building something in Zacharias. So there's fear, or there's awe, or wonder, but there's a special message. And verse 15 reads, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." There's a mouthful of responsibility that is given to John the Baptizer. There's a commission. There's a statement made about what his ministry purpose would become. He was a miracle birth. He was foretold by an angel, and John's father was doubtful. And John, we see, was of a priestly lineage, but it was going to be different. He was a priest, but he wasn't going to minister at the temple. He was going to usher in a new age. Friends, I want us to understand that there's been some confusion in our world, but there's no confusion about our purpose. Go and make disciples. Go and share the gospel. Our way may change just a little bit or quite a lot, but we still have a purpose. He was the child of his parents' old age, and he had come from a barren womb. Some of the most miraculous feats that were done by mankind were done by those who had come from barren wombs. It shouldn't have been that Isaac was born. He sprung from a barren womb. So did Jacob, and so did many others. Look at Joseph. Look at those throughout history. And now John, the one that would foretell or prepare the way for the Messiah, came from a barren womb. He was a miracle child. You and I are all miracle children. God found us in a wilderness. He found us sinful. He found us broken. He found us maybe even in demonic activity. But oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He took us out of that place of barrenness, and he intended to place us in a place of fruitfulness. God wants you and I to be fruitful during this time. We also understand that he was to play a pivotal role in history, all of history, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was to prepare the way for the Messiah, the Anointed One, their Savior and Deliverer. Yes, it was his responsibility, his solo responsibility to prepare the way. Please don't be intimidated by whatever is going on, whoever is running their mouth. If God has called us and commissioned us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. John was willing to lay down his own life for the sake of the kingdom of God. Remember, this life is just a blip. It's just a blip on the screen. The Bible says it's like a flower that fades, like grass that's cast into the oven, like steam that disappears into the air. It's just a vapor. But oh, there's an eternal place of abode. There is eternal purpose for you and I. And the message of John the Baptizer was very clear, as revealed in Matthew 3 and 1. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The message of John was, it's turnaround time. We still have the same message. Repent. Repent, repent, repent. Repentance is important. Turning away from our own desires and following the desires of God. Being mournful and repentant and sorrowful of our past life and embracing something that God has for us is essential. We just don't come to the front and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. We make Him Lord of our life through surrender. The turnaround time was demanded that men and women would repent, would change their lifestyles, would leave their sinful lifestyles, and that they would begin to live lives that lined up with the expectation of God's Word. That they would prepare to receive the Messiah. It was time for a major change in attitude. We really got to change our attitude when we surrender to Jesus. Now, I want us to see this. It takes that. These disciples that Paul found had repented. They were living life different. What I'm preaching to you here in this first service is this message, is that there are many, many, many out there that have repented and are waiting for this transformational infilling of the Holy Ghost. They may not even understand what it is or how it should happen. And repent they did. I want us to notice why it is important to be prepared. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were preparing for the visitation of the Savior. Matthew 3 and 5 says, "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to Him and were baptized by Him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." This was one man. Everybody say one man. Say just one. Just one. And not 12 even. Not a whole bunch. It was just one voice coming out of the wilderness. The people confessed their sins. They admitted their guilt. And they were baptized. Baptism identified the people with the message of John the Baptizer. Baptism identified the people as disciples of or followers of the teachings of John the Baptizer. But remember, repentance and baptism were only in preparation for something greater that was coming. The Lord was coming from heaven. But the Lord that was coming was going to do something greater for these people. In Mark chapter number 1, we find this description. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. These were things that identified him as a prophet. And he preached in verse 7 saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John realized there was someone greater than him. And someone greater than him that could give them something greater than he could offer. You and I cannot fill people with the Holy Ghost. We can lead them to repentance and we can baptize them into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But only He can fill them with His Spirit. We've got to have a sovereign move of God in our generation. We've got to have a sovereign move of God in our city, in this locality, in this church. We need a Holy Ghost out. We need Him. Oh God, baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, the goal of John the Baptizer was to prepare the way for Jesus, who would ultimately baptize His followers with the Holy Spirit. After John baptized Jesus, we find this record in John 1 and 29 by John the disciple or the beloved. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is He of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" This that we do here on a Sunday or a Tuesday is not about us. It's about Him and them. It's not about building a kingdom for ourselves or notoriety, but it's shining them on to Jesus. If they forget my name, that's all right. As long as I connect them with Jesus and they know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the power of His Spirit. Even while John was alive, he pointed the way to Jesus. It was all about the one who would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, I want them to have the Holy Ghost and fire. And for all of us who are here in this early service that have already been baptized with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask him and God, and I'm going to ask you to get the fire this morning, to ask God to light something up on the inside of you. I've told the illustration years ago. Brother Fred Scott was speaking with me, and he said that he remembers a man that received the Holy Spirit. And he said, I knew he did, but I never was going to tell him. But he was speaking with tongues, and he'd come to the altar and he'd speak with tongues, and then he'd deny it, and then he'd say, no, it didn't happen to me. And finally he said, I want the Holy Ghost. And he said, have you spoke with other tongues? Yes. He said, well, the Bible says that's the sign of the Holy Ghost. He said, but I want the fire. I want more than something to affirm to me who I am. I want something to light me up so that I can show the world who He is. I can't do that in my own timid personality. I can't do that with my own brash personality. I've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. So it should be no surprise then to hear again the question of Paul in Acts 19 and 2. He said unto them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you? Why would he ask such a question if it was unimportant? He wasn't asking this weeks after he met them. This was his first encounter. He's trying to lay a groundwork. Whose side are you on? Whose report do you believe? Where do you stand? Have you received since you believed? And the continuing dialogue is even more important than the question, the answer. Through this, we understand the expectation of the apostles and the early New Testament church concerning the new birth. These were the ones who met the one that came after John, who were disciples of the one that came after John, the one that would baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. These were the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, the God-called ones. And in verse 2, we read, did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not. Not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. We don't even know if there is one. Friends, there are people that are taught in their churches that the Holy Ghost is not for us today. That all those works ceased a long time ago. Do you know what? The Bible talked about a day when the law would be fulfilled, and it was. But the Bible only talks about a day when that which is poured out will now be removed. But that's after the second coming or the rapture or the catching away of the bride of Christ. And Jesus hasn't come back yet for his church. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Now, I want to present this to you, a way of thinking is that he says, well, then how were you baptized? Because to him, it was obvious. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What we haven't even heard is there's been a Holy Ghost. Well, then obviously you weren't baptized right, because these are paired together. They're not meant to be separate. It's kind of like saying you're pregnant, but you're always going to be pregnant and the baby's never going to be born. Any women up for that? I didn't think so. About the 8th and the 9th month, maybe the 7th month, if it's summertime, you're ready. And there's a feet, well, we won't even go to there. But there's all that stuff you put up with. Why? With expectation that there will be a child born. That's what we're waiting for. He's saying, well, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you must not have been baptized right. Because if you were baptized right, you would receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody should have to look at us crazy and say, what do you mean baptized right? There's a right way and a wrong way to do most everything. You bake a cake and it's supposed to be in a certain order. And if you don't do it in the certain order, they say, oops, I forgot the salt. Well, maybe it'll turn out all right anyway. Or we forgot the eggs and now it's flat. Here we are. God had given command. And in verse 4, Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of disciples of John out there that need to become disciples of Jesus. Yeah. There are a lot of believers that need to become receivers. They need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Friend of mine, don't belittle anybody's relationship that they have begun with Jesus Christ. They're in the conception or maybe even the gestation process. But God's ready to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. There are many that are willing to be born again of the water and the Spirit. We have been praying for decades that God would lead Cornelius to us, that He would lead the hungry to those who preach the truth. And I believe that God is watching the memorials that are be built up in prayer of those righteous men and women. And in a moment's time, God should just give us 100 soul revival. Thank you. That's what He did for Peter, the centurion, and all his household were baptized and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and were baptized into Jesus Christ. That means all the soldiers, all the servants, all of his kids and his grandkids and his wife, they all were born again at one time. Remember, repentance and baptism were only preparation for something greater that was to come. The Lord was coming, even in His day. Repent and be baptized. They followed Him. They went out to Jordan, and there were so many that followed them that the Pharisees feared them. So much that when Jesus was asked a question, He proffered a question to them, and He says, well, is John from God or not? And they feared the people, and if they said from God, Jesus would say, well, how come you're not following him? And if they said, well, he is not from God, then they feared that the people would overrun them. Because it appears that whole villages had been baptized. Whole groups of people had been prepared for the way of the Lord. Baptism is the preparation for the way of the Lord into our heart. Baptism cleanses us and prepares us for God to enter a sanctified or a set apart or a cleansed vessel. Acts 19 and 4 in the Message translation. Listen to Paul's explanation in this translation. It says, that explains it, said Paul. John preached about baptism, a radical life change, so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized into John's baptism, now you're ready for the real thing, for Jesus. Somehow they understood it. Friends, don't be worried. Don't be intimidated. The truly hungry, if you will show them and teach them this way, they will be ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when they do, it will rock their world and they will be ready for even greater change. And verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank God. But the Lord wants to do something greater for you and I and for them than to wash away their sins. There was another step in the process that God had prepared for them. The baptism would prepare this group of people to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. You see, baptism is unique. It's an end and it's a beginning. It's the end of a reign of sin in the life of the believer. It's the end of the judgment caused by sin. It's the end of the authority of sin in the life of the believer. But it's the beginning of preparation and the beginning of a brand new life in Christ Jesus that prepares us for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So they were baptized. The believers were baptized correctly. And verse 6 says, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Yes, the important question was asked by Paul was, not are you a believer, but are you a receiver? God wants to pour His Spirit out upon all flesh. And I'm not going to name denominations today, but God has put you and I in contact with people that are believers. Other believers have come out of the woodwork. Why? Because the pressure's coming out down upon Christians, and they're just looking for somebody else that has something similar to what they have. Have you met anybody lately that you really didn't know that they were a believer until the questions came up in the discussions? Says, oh, I used to go to church, but my church is closed. I've had about 3 baristas, and I keep giving them on my card. And maybe those Starbucks baristas will end up showing up at church. I don't know, but there's a connection there. Our world is hungry. The church is hungry. I tell you what, when you go to church, when people are going to church and finding out that what they thought was rock solid is no longer solid, they start looking for a place where it's still rock solid. And you are the lead-in for them. The new birth was complete. John 3:5-8. Jesus is in the middle of the conversation with Nicodemus. And please remember, John 3:16 is quoted over and over and over again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. This is in the middle of a conversation, or the capstone to a conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus in the whole of the beginning of the chapter. And in verse number 5, Jesus answered Nicodemus, most assuredly I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's a transformation that happens. The birth of the Spirit is essential. In this day, we're talking about essential jobs, essential people. The new birth is essential. Born again of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why should we have a hard time with that? More likely than not, the reason you are in this house today is you want to go to heaven. Anybody not want to go to heaven? Okay. I don't need to talk after church then. But I would like for you to stand with me and consider this. And when I appeal for you to come forward, we're going to ask that the Holy Ghost and fire just fall upon us. Don't be surprised if it's just like the first time, or if it's a slow burn and all of a sudden just whoosh, and it feels like a volcano that wants to come out. You know, I made a plaster of Paris volcano one time. Anybody ever make one of those? All the old people did. That was our science project. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not that old. Sorry about that, Austin. All the smart people did that. Anybody else make one? No. And, of course, you could put a Mento in now and pour some Coca-Cola or Sprite on top, but it was a combination of other things that we'd put in there, and it'd take a moment. And then all of a sudden, and sometimes that's the way it is with the Holy Ghost. Because we've got to get ourselves out of the way to let Him flow freely through us. To enter the kingdom of God, one must believe and become a disciple. One must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one must receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to the New Living Translation of John 3:5. Jesus replied, "The truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit." That's plain English. You can't get in. So if you can't get into the kingdom, what's the other option? The Bible only gives us two eternal destinations, heaven and hell.
That's right. Yeah.
Purgatory is a myth.
That's right.
Yeah. There's also a doctrine that has gone around that everything just disappears, the destruction of all things. Then there's another one that's even crazier, the restoration of all things. Is that everybody gets to rise and be perfect again. No, you've got to get into the kingdom of God. Friends, I'm not sending us on a crusade of brashness or arrogance or rudeness. But I'm telling you, there are tens of thousands of people across America that have not been able to go to their church for a year now. And their faith may be wavering, but yours is not. You have confidence. Be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lieth within you. Because I believe that there are thousands in the Portland metropolitan area that have good morals still, that have been pursuing Christ, that just don't know the joy of the Holy Spirit living in them and guiding them and restoring them and renewing them and refreshing them. But you and I know that. And we can share with them. It's time to quit being intimidated. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said in some of his final words, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You may not remember it, but I read it so many times in preparation for what I had to say today. But John the Baptizer went in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and he baptized thousands. But the Holy Spirit has been loosed upon this whole world. It's not time to say, well, you know, God, it's COVID, so... When this is all over, I'll get the Holy Ghost all over again. When this is all over, then I'll breathe and relax and say, whew, now I can be free. No, how about we get free today? Let's all come to the front today, and there's more room than there used to be, if you feel comfortable with that. And we're just gonna, I'm gonna lead you in a repentant prayer. And you may not have gone out and killed somebody this week, or something crazy. But we just want our hearts to be right for the Holy Spirit to just come with a wave over us. And I'm going to release that wave this morning. And we're going to feel the fire. The fire. God's going to light something up on the inside of you and I. And when He lights that something up on the inside of you and I, we're going to go and be witnesses. And we're going to bump into people. And we're going to talk to people that we know are Christians that we just haven't had an opportunity. But we're going to have an opportunity. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be a witness? And I know you've been witnesses. So let's repent, dear Jesus. We want everything out of the way. We repent of our obeisance to fear. We repent for following our fearful thoughts and going down rabbit holes of negativity. God, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for being intimidated and pulling back from the commission that you had given to us. Lord, these precious people that are here gathered at altar today, you see the hunger of our heart. You see the desire of our spirit. You know that we're passionate to see your spirit poured out.